It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Last week, the National Rifle Association tweeted that doctors should stay in their lane when it comes to gun control. Doctors responded en masse, arguing that gun violence in the United States is a critical public health issue. A doctor joins us to share his stance. The Morning Show reached out to the NRA on this issue, but they have so far not responded to our request. Do you think the medical community has a place in the gun control debate? Why or why not? What role should doctors, nurses, and researchers play when it comes to shaping gun policy? Are you a nurse or doctor? What's your opinion? What has your experience with gun-related injuries and deaths been? How has that shaped how you feel? Should doctors ask their patients about whether they have guns in the home, just like they ask whether you smoke and whether you wear a seatbelt in the car, or is that an invasion of privacy? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Join our conversation using that telephone number. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Justin Lowenthal is the co-chair of Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group. He's a student at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Dr. Lowenthal, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What was your initial reaction to the National Rifle Association tweeting last week that doctors should stay in their lane when it comes to gun control?
You know, I would say that I was a little bit shocked by how brazen of a statement it was, but I confess that I'm no longer shocked by the responses that the NRA puts out about gun violence. And I think that's reflected by the level of response, the number, and the quality of the responses we saw on Twitter right after that statement.
The NRA's tweet was in response to a paper published by the American College of Physicians last month stating its position on gun policy. Tell us more about the ACP's policy recommendations.
Yeah, so the ACP has been putting out policy recommendations since at least 2014, and this set of recommendations that they put out last week was just an update to the previous recommendations. And it's really about gun safety. I want to emphasize that this is about risk prevention, firearm injury prevention, and not so much about gun restriction or gun control. But a lot of what the ACP put out was related to recommendations to physicians in having conversations with their patients. So they recommended that gun violence be first and foremost considered a public health issue, and considered that way both in terms of how we research it and study it, as well as in how we think about quote unquote treatments for gun violence in the communities and sort of nationwide.
It seems sometimes that the term gun violence is so broad that it doesn't have a lot of meaning. But when you use the term, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. When we talk about gun violence, we're actually talking about a slew of different types of gun-related injury and gun-related crime. So we're talking everything from interpersonal homicide, so these are shootings between individuals. We're talking mass shootings, although mass shootings account for less than about 2% of overall deaths from gun violence. We're talking suicides, which is probably one of the number one or two causes of gun-related death in the United States. We're also talking about urban community violence. We're talking about domestic violence and guns used in domestic violence situations. There's a whole list of different types of gun violence, and related to that, a whole list of different types of potential solutions that we can think about. And I, you know, often when people see a proposed gun violence prevention measure, a gun control legislation, and say, that law would not have prevented this mass shooting or this incident, that's usually true. It's true that not every solution is going to solve every aspect of this problem. The problem is so diverse, and the solutions have to be diverse as well.
Speed limits don't prevent people from driving too fast, but we have them anyway. Do you agree with the ACP's recommendations?
I would say in general, yes, we do. I think our big emphasis is on doing the research. The federal government has been restricted from doing gun violence prevention research under language that is vague about what constitutes advocacy around gun violence research. And so our biggest emphasis is to restore and fund additional research into what causes gun violence, what factors are associated with prevention of gun violence, and what sort of laws, at least that we've seen at the state level, what sort of laws work and what sort of laws don't. Beyond that, we do know that some research has been done, usually with private funding. And, you know, a lot of the recommendations laid out in this position paper are based on very good data from states like Missouri and Connecticut and Indiana, all over the country, that suggest that certain measures are very effective. So things like extreme risk protection orders or domestic violence protection orders that allow people who have been convicted of certain crimes, including domestic violence, and people who are at risk in terms of mental health, to have mental health professionals or law enforcement be alerted, so that they may be prohibited from purchasing guns and in certain cases actually be forced to relinquish the guns that they have, at least temporarily. So that's one example. They lay out probably 10 or so different points in a lot of detail. And I think most or all of them are very well supported by evidence that we have.
Justin Lowenthal is the co-chair of Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group. Why is gun control a public health issue? Why is this issue in the medical community's purview?
So I would say those are two different questions. So tackling the second, I think gun violence is in the medical community's purview because we see the back end of every aspect of gun violence. When we're talking about trauma surgeons who are actually operating on victims of gun violence and know firsthand the wounds and the types of tissue damage that are caused by certain ammunition and certain types of guns. We're talking about psychiatrists. We're talking about pediatricians who are looking after child safety. We're talking about OBGYNs who talk to pregnant women who have undergone trauma and are at risk for domestic violence. So this is, you know, we see the very diverse aspects of this. In terms of why we consider it in the realm of public health, you know, when we talk about the leading causes of death in the United States that are not related to things like chronic disease or cancer, you know, things like car accidents, things like, you know, risk from smoking, things like deaths from gun violence and deaths from opioid overdose, those are always things that we talk about how to prevent. And gun violence is the daily toll from gun violence is now on par with the daily toll from opioid overdose. And we talk about opioid overdose in the same way as a public health crisis because of the sheer amount of damage it does, both to the victims themselves and also the psychological trauma that's caused to families and communities with kind of ripple effects downstream on their health.
And Justin, Yeah, we have to get to a break here. Justin Lowenthal is co-chair of Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group. He stays with us as our conversation continues. What do you think? Is gun violence a public health issue, and should it be researched like that? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Last week, the National Rifle Association tweeted that doctors should stay in their lane when it comes to gun control. Doctors responded en masse, arguing that gun violence in the U.S. is a critical public health issue. Justin Lowenthal is the co-chair of Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group. He's a student at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And he's with us this morning to talk about this issue. By the way, we also reached out to the NRA. They have so far not responded to our request. What do you think? Do you think the medical community has a place in this discussion? Do you think that gun violence is a public health issue and should be researched that way? Or do you agree with the NRA and doctors should stay in their lane? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. What would addressing gun violence actually look like for doctors in a practical sense in working with patients, Dr. Lowenthal?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and I think it varies a lot based on the type of doctor and the type of patient you're talking about. So pediatricians already ask families if there are guns in the home, if those guns are loaded. You could imagine pediatricians expanding those questions to the type of technology and the type of gun, the type of ammunition, and the type of safety measures being taken. In terms of addressing it more broadly, there are efforts in communities led by health professionals and others to intervene, especially in urban areas, to intervene and prevent gun violence in the first place. And these are well studied and well supported in places like Chicago and Baltimore, where I currently am. When we're talking about trauma surgeons, doing research would help trauma surgeons know the best ways to approach different types of wounds caused by different types of guns and ammunition. And so it would vary a lot, but there are just a lot of questions that we need answers to from a research standpoint in order to do better, to make sure that gun violence can be addressed.
Justin, you're in medical school. When did you start seeing gun violence as something that intersects with your career as a doctor?
It was actually my first week in medical school. We, during our first week, get tours of Baltimore City and hear from people in the community about their experience, both with the medical community and more generally in the city. And every single person we ran into had a story about a child or a family member who was a victim of gun violence or was impacted somehow by it. And I've seen on my surgical rotations, I've seen in my public health electives, in my psychiatry rotations, gun violence comes up in every single setting. And not just in the city, but in communities, in terms of youth suicide.
Since 1966, the Centers for Disease Control has had to avoid conducting research on gun violence because of the Dickey Amendment. The Dickey Amendment basically said that the CDC could conduct research on gun violence but could not promote gun control. The federal spending bill passed in March of this year included language indicating that the CDC could research ways to reduce gun violence, although the Dickey Amendment is still in effect. Do you think we've made a step in the right direction here?
I think it's a step in the right direction, but I think it's a very small step. And I think the Dickey Amendment language is still having sort of a freezing effect on research at the federal level. Even with the clarification and statements from the Health and Human Services Secretary, there is still a concern among many in the public health research community that even by doing the research, if one of the implications of the data is to suggest that an additional regulation on gun ownership would be helpful to prevent gun violence, just even suggesting that in research could be classified as or thought of as promoting gun control and then causing CDC's budget to be affected, causing researchers to be suppressed in various ways. So I think even with the language still in effect, we need to see it overturned, and we also need to actually have real appropriations of money at the federal level to make sure that this research gets done.
Justin Lowenthal is co-chair of Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group. He's a student at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Justin, what are the most pressing questions, in your view, when it comes to gun violence research today?
So we've talked a little bit about suicide, but what we don't know is what are the most effective ways to prevent gun suicide, particularly among youth. We know that, at least logically, certain ways of locking up and storing guns in the home can make it more difficult. We know that certain interventions in school early on and detection of risk and mental health, but we don't know exactly which ones are effective and which ones aren't. And until we know that, we don't know where to put taxpayer money to help prevent gun suicide. Same thing with urban gun violence. We know some of these community-based programs work, but we don't know exactly how, and we don't know if various regulations on guns, gun buyback programs that are voluntary, gun technology that prevents the original other people from the original owner using guns, whether those technologies would actually be additionally helpful in reducing inner city gun violence. Safe storage methods, technology. So there are a lot of very diverse questions that we need to answer.
How does your group, Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group, hope to address concerns about research?
So we work collaboratively. We talk with other health provider groups, physician societies, as well as groups in nursing, in social work, in mental health, making sure that we have, among the research that we do have, the best data and a set of policy recommendations that we feel are well supported and are politically viable. And we are often in conversation both at the national and state level with legislators who are supportive and who think that this research needs to be done. We talk often with the House leadership and the House of Representatives about each year in the spending bill, trying to get this language overturned and appropriations for money. And so we sort of take an all hands on deck approach to work together and make this happen.
What policy changes have you seen, particularly at the state level, that would be considered a step in the right direction, in your opinion?
So I think after the Parkland shooting and as a result of the activism driven by the youth from Parkland, Florida, I think we saw a variety of state-level changes that I think were steps in the right direction. So extreme risk protection orders, which I mentioned earlier, have been implemented in various states and shown to be very, very effective. Things like, obviously, bump stock bans in response to Las Vegas, but other types of restrictions on some of the most egregious, large-capacity magazines and high muzzle velocity semi-automatic assault rifles in certain states, such as Massachusetts, have been very effective. And then efforts around identifying youth suicide risk and preventing guns from falling into the hands of youths who are at risk for suicide. Because we know that if somebody has access to a gun, they're much more at risk for suicide. And if they don't have access to a gun, they're more likely to actually find treatment rather than find another way to commit suicide.
Are there things that we can do as lay people, not doctors or legislators, that might make our communities safer from gun violence?
I think the first thing you can do is talk to your know what the laws are in your state, and if you feel they are insufficient, talk to your local and state legislators. Tell them that you are supportive of this, because ultimately, who the legislators hear from will often be organizations such as the NRA who are promoting gun purchases and gun ownership. So they need to hear from you. They need to hear from lay people. In addition, I think talking to family members, talking to friends, being aware of people around you who may be suffering from mental health crises or who are in domestic violence type situations, know who owns guns in your home and in those around you, and just make yourself aware and be there for family and friends to help support them and make sure that guns don't fall into the hands of people who might be at risk for committing violence with them.
kind of looping back to where we started on this, what has been the reaction generally outside of the medical community and the immediate NRA community to kind of this Twitter incident, the whole stay in your lane thing? What's the reaction been like generally? Have doctors been getting support?
I think, at least in my experience and from talking to colleagues, it's been almost universally supportive. I think even if you are a gun owner who's an NRA member and very against certain types of gun control, I think it's very obvious to folks that doctors and medical professionals are intimately involved with caring for people who are victims of gun violence. And so it makes perfect sense to say that this actually is our lane. This is sort of our highway that we run down on a daily basis. And if anything, the NRA is invading on our lane and not the other way around.
Justin Lowenthal, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Justin Lowenthal is co-chair of Doctors for America's National Gun Violence Prevention Working Group and a student at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Coming up next, we consider who will be the leaders in the new Congress just elected. That's all ahead on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson.